reviewing the whole 6010.
Hello and welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. It is CSS DFS. I'm Daniel. This is Mike. We're in a new spot. And our friend Al Zeidenfeld is also joining us. Al.
From the same spot.
Yeah. See, Al, you've not changed. Your setup is the same that it has always been. Mike and I are in a different spot, but you look fantastic. You look like you haven't aged a day, Al. That salt and pepper look, man, really nice on you.
I think that that kind of contradicts itself, right? So if I haven't aged a day, I would not have the whole salt, salt and pepper thing going on.
Maybe you were born that way. I don't know.
Yeah. Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
Benjamin Smissel.
Well, look, I've never seen Al before. He had the salt and pepper look, so maybe.
It's the only way that I know Al.
You know, it's possible.
I've seen pictures of you back in your poker playing days with like a shaved baby face, which feels really weird to watch that, but anyways, no big deal. Hey, we are here. We are talking about the week 3 DFS slate. We are going to give you everything that you need. Mike breaking down cash lineups. Al breaking down tournament lineups. I'm just sort of here because they need someone to be able to help, I guess,
we need breaks from talking.
Yeah,
sometimes
you guys need like just a second to be able to breathe and drink some water.
Yeah.
Week 2 recap. Let's talk about this really quickly, Mike. You had Trey Lance in your lineup.
I did.
Which means I won in week 2. That's all that matters. Came out on top
by 0.3. Point 0 was 0.3 points.
Win's a win.
Yeah, Lance. And again, we did this 2 years ago. We talked about you. It's in week 2. Same thing. You had Tyrod Taylor, and he didn't play last second. I got. I don't want to. You know, it's.
It's tough.
Horrible what happened to Trey Lance.
Of course.
He was in line for a big game, a big bounce back. And I was really rooting for him because he took a lot of criticism that was unnecessary all week long.
Agreed.
Was hoping for a big bounce back week. But now we move on and we hope he gets back to full health. And I can't wait to see him next year. For
same.
Sure.
Yeah. Same. I ended up beating Mike, like you said, by, it doesn't matter. Doesn't make a difference because a win is a win. That's how points work. But shout out to Griffin-Daniel85, 249.46 points in week 2. By the way, he won
a two-time winner.
Won a week 18, 2020.
He wins this again. We're going to have to bring him on for a guest spot or something. You could tell us how to sell lineups.
Might be replacing me. Yeah, that's how it's going to work. All right. Make sure that you join our free league over at DraftKings. Reminder, it's free. We don't tell everyone else on the internet that. Mike and I are going to post it on our Twitter. We're going to send out the link so that you guys can join the league. But we don't say how much the league costs. We don't talk about how much you can win. How much can you win in prizes?
$1,000 in prizes. So hop in, make some... essentially free money. You know what you're doing in fantasy? You get free bucks.
Heck,
pretty good, right?
It is not bad.
Pay zero, get money back.
That's
even if it's $1, that's profit.
That is profit.
That's right.
That's
math.
Right.
Math.
All right.
I have an accounting degree.
It. Do you seriously?
Yeah. That's how I knew that. That's how I knew one is more than zero.
That's good for you, man. Yeah. Good for you. Look at that. Student loans finally paying off.
All right. There we go.
Let's talk about the week 3 slate. Mike, at the quarterback position, Jalen Hurts, $7,600, taking on the Washington Commanders. It feels like Jalen Hurts is just sort of a cheat code right now in DFS. Is the well going to run dry, or do you think it's going to continue here in week 3?
We'll see. Look, what happened here is he was a good value against Detroit in week 1. We liked him. We talked about he had a good game. And then he played on Monday night, right? So his price went up a little, I believe, from weeks 1 to 2, but not enough now going from weeks 2 to 3 because he had another huge game and kind of solidified himself as a fantasy star in that Monday night game. He's the 4th price quarterback at 7,600. He's been a top five scorer both weeks. He's cheaper than Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, all good quarterbacks, but he's less than them, and he's been producing at that level so far. Obviously, his rushing production has been terrific, 147 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Elite.
He's going to continue to dominate with 8 to 10 carries per game. And this kind of surprised me a little bit. You wouldn't think of Jalen Hurts and think, this is a guy that throws for 300 yards and gets me that bonus, right? Well, he threw for 333 last week, and he has hit the 300-yard passing bonus in right around 25% of his career games. You wouldn't think that, right? Because he runs so much that he would not. He's gotten there quite a bit. And it's a small sample, but still, he's gotten there 5 times already in his career. The Commanders, by the way, have allowed 5 touchdowns to quarterbacks already. That is 4th most, 250-plus yards to both quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Trevor Lawrence. So they haven't faced the toughest competition.
I was just going to say, those guys aren't super great.
And now they take on Jalen Hurts. So I think at his price, you can pay up a quarterback this week.
$7,600 taking on the Commanders. Like him a lot. Al, let's talk about Kirk Cousins. I feel like you do this to me every single week. It's like you just find the team that's playing the Detroit Lions and you want to specifically talk about one of those guys. I don't know why. Well, I guess you're right. I do know why Mike said it's a good plan. Yeah. And this week you've got Kirk Cousins, $6,700 taking on a weak Detroit secondary. What do you like about Kirk Cousins in this matchup?
He faces the three-legged wildebeest, and that's what we want to do is the lions out on the Sahara. We don't want to go after the biggest, strongest one. We want to attack the one that's got three legs that can't get away. And right now, that's the Detroit Lions defense. So, like, opponents have completed seven deep passes against Detroit this season for 212 yards and a touchdown. Cousins threw for 615 yards across two games against Detroit last year. And because of the fact that they were on Monday night, you have, like, one of the best values on the slate at tight end and Irv Smith that you could stack him with. Justin Jefferson, he's good. So you could double stack this quite easily, and I think it's going to be probably the highest played stack on the week. Is that double?
Do you like that?
I heard that double stacks with a comeback weren't a thing anymore, Al. Is that true? Yeah. Like, should we just stop doing that?
Rumors of the double stack's demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Greatly exaggerated. All right.
Interesting.
I think there's quite a few wide receiving options in this game if you did want to do a double stack from Al's perspective for a tournament type of a play. Mm-hmm. A couple other quarterbacks that we like this week. Josh Allen, $8,200. I'm just going to really quickly. Mm-hmm. Should we just play Josh Allen every single week? I mean, $8,200 for a guy that seems he's just Superman right now.
Don't care. Yeah, you should just play him. The question, I put this in the show notes for the people watching and listening. And I said it last year. Why are we not just stacking Josh Allen 150 times if we're mass multi-entering? Like, he has the highest probability of scoring 30-plus DraftKings points, and that is the biggest predictor of a double stack being viable. So, like, he's already done it twice this year, unfortunately, on Island games. Now he has his first main slate appearance. So, like, yes, we should be double stacking Josh Allen, like, literally all the time. Is it going to work 100% of the time? No, but it's like the Sex Panther potion, right? 60% of the time, double stacking Josh Allen works every time.
I like that. I like that. All right, another couple quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, after what he did last week, $8,000 taking on the Patriots. Derek Carr, if you want to go cheap, $5,900 taking on the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I feel like last week the value of quarterback was paying down a little bit. There were some good values, including Carson Wentz and Trey Lance, who, again, still think he was headed for a pretty big game before the injury. This week, you can pay up, right? Yep. The value's at some of these higher-end guys in good matchups.
All right, let's talk about the running back position here, and this is another spot. Running backs have just been tough across the board in the NFL this year, Mike.
Yes.
There have been a lot of games where if you've paid up for Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, it has been tough here in week three. Mm-hmm. You were looking at Leonard Fournette taking on the Green Bay Packers, and Leonard feels as close to a smash play as you can get because there's nobody else in that offense it feels like to handle the workload.
Yeah, the only concern is he just has the Tampa Bay offense has another big dud, right? Because they've been struggling. They're not finding the end zone, which is rare. He did, tweet? I think he put it on Twitter.
Sorry, like, about that, fantasy managers.
Yeah, he apologized to fantasy managers, which is the right way to approach it, I think, and said touchdowns are coming. So, look, I'll be honest. The first thing I do when it comes to DFS each week is take my first batch of projections once they're ready. I run them against the salaries, and then they spit out. And when I saw running back this week, I was like, oh, God. Not good. Like, it didn't feel good at all. So I feel great about Fournette spitting out as the top value here. But when you think about it more and you dig in to see if it's justified, it is, right? He's played 81% of the snaps so far. He has 23 plus touches in both games. And he's the 10th price running back here at 6,500, right? He just seems too low. He's second at the position in touches so far. And remember, before he got hurt late last season, two guys had more fantasy points than him in this off, and like while he was playing in this offense, Austin Eckler and Jonathan Taylor, right? He was terrific. The Packers, by the way, allowing 6.1 yards per carry to running back so far. That is third worst in the NFL. They allowed 100 or more scrimmage yards to Dalvin Cook and to David Montgomery. Remember, people were worried about David Montgomery last week, and he looked good running against that Packers defense, which is supposed to be a really good D. So I think Fournette is a good play this week at the price.
Yeah, love that call from that standpoint. Probably a lot of people are going to be on him because of that price point. However, there's no one else in that offense, it feels like, this week.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and we're talking cash, right? So it's not really, you don't have to worry about contrarian plays necessarily in cash.
All right, let's talk Miles Sanders. Al Zeidenfeld, only $5,500. Obviously, there's a little bit of a fear from the goal line vulture touchdown, maybe not getting 100 yards. However, Miles Sanders is cheap. That $5,500 allows you to jam in some guys elsewhere. Is that why you like Miles Sanders this week?
So Mike hit on it at quarterback. Like, we kind of want to pay up at that position. And there's a lot of premium wide receivers that we're going to touch on in just a little bit that are above $6,500 to $8,000. that you're going to want to get in your lineups because they project as really good value. So we're going to have to find value at running back. Mike hit on Leonard Fournette. I totally agree there. Miles Sanders is 5,500 and has been performing very well. 30 carries for the first two games, solid usage. He's gotten some usage and touches inside the 5-yard line, which are those high value leverage touches that we really want to see for daily fantasy. 80 yards against Minnesota, 96 against Detroit, has not had a breakthrough game, but Washington's allowing 6.8 yards per carry against running backs this season. That is laughably bad. And in week 15 last year, he had 131 rushing yards, did Miles Sanders, against this same team. So if he's going to have a breakout, it looks like that sieve that he's playing against for the Commanders, who really are not commanding the line of scrimmage at all, could be a breakthrough opportunity at only 5,500.
Heck yeah. Love that call. And I'm in on Miles Sanders this week, a guy that I like in my lineup as well. So like this call a lot. Always feel a little bit like I'm a little bit of trepidation when I'm starting an Eagles running back just because of Jalen Hurts and everything that he does there. But that price point is so low. 5,500 allowed me to find some other guys in my lineup that I wanted to be able to make sure I jammed in there. All right, couple other running backs that we like this week. David Montgomery, Mike just mentioned him, $5,900. Taking on the Houston Texans, he looked really good last week against the Packers. I like him a lot here, especially sub $6,000. James Conner, $6,200, taking on the Rams.
He's questionable, so keep an eye on that
Keep an eye on that. Alvin Kamara, $7,000. If he goes, you like him against the Carolina Panthers. Michael Carter, only $5,200 against Cincy. You love Michael Carter and the volume that he has been getting. Miles Sanders, we already mentioned. CMC, $8,800 against the Saints. And Joe Mixon taking on the New York Jets, $7,600. A lot of volume for Joe Mixon.
Yeah, a lot
of
big names. Again, we've had, what's the stat field dropped in the first pod? There's no running back has 17 plus points in both games so far.
I don't like that stat. The stat that I prefer is there is only one running back in the NFL that has 16 or more fantasy points through each of the first two games, and that is DeAndre Swift.
That's funny how you twisted that, like to favor the
numbers. I can do stuff.
Absolutely. But anyway, as a product of that, I think we're finding that the top running backs aren't really, there's none that are like dominating weeks one and two and their price is jacked up and you can't play them. Like all the top guys are, for the most part, are reasonable, right? You can utilize them. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. We're going to pay some bills here first, and then we'll be back with some wide receivers. Geico wants to know, Mike, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I was just saying, I would love that. I want to save money on insurance.
Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? When it comes to great rates on insurance for all things in your life, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your boat, your RV, even help with your homeowners, condos, or renters coverage. You could even save more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance and more, and switching to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today. See all the ways that you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com, get a rate quote, or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. All right, let's talk wide receivers here. Mike, week three. I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this. Jacoby Myers is the guy you want to talk about. $5,000. It's a Patriots wide receiver.
I know.
What is it about Jacoby Myers this week, led by Mac Jones, that has you wanting to put him in your cash lineup?
Well, and, you know, Al alluded to this. There are a lot of big names here that I could have went with. And I'm looking for, you know, I'm spending up a little at running back, top end quarterback. We'll talk about tight end in a second. But where's the value here, right? Looking for kind of a value target. And we're talking cash too. So we're looking for a high floor. And you get that with Jacoby Myers, who's only 5,000 this week. He's 23rd in fantasy points, but he's 37th in pricing. And remember, that's the slate does not include the three primetime games. So it's too low. This guy has 8 or more targets. Think about this when you want a high floor guy, right? 8 plus targets in 6 of his past 7 full games. He has 4 or more catches in 21 of his last 22 games.
Wow.
So you're already starting, basically figure worst case 9 or 10 yards per catch. You're starting with 8 points with Myers. Anything else is gravy on top of that, right? We're targeting 15. Obviously we went 3 times the salary, 5,000. We went 15 points, but he's starting you off with that floor, which is great. And then on top of that, as if that's not enough, he's playing the Ravens and they cannot stop the pass right now. You saw what Tua and company did to them last week. They've allowed the most targets, catches, yards, and touchdowns to receivers so far. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle both got to 40 points and 4 in week one. It wasn't just the Ravens. Or it wasn't just the Dolphins. In week one, 4 Jets got to 9 points. 4 different Jets.
New York
reached
Jets.
9 fantasy points in that game. It's a good matchup right now. The Ravens are still struggling in the secondary. I think Myers is a terrific value play. Saves you money. then he could spend up at other spots.
You can go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel sexy, Mike, but it doesn't to feel sexy. It's about being able to make sure that you're getting good value.
Right, sure. And a lot of people, I feel like that way. Even maybe Al could talk about this. Like in a tournament setting, mm-hmm. you're probably not thinking Myers is a guy I want in there to win the Millie, right? And, you know, if he puts a scores, just happens to find the end zone, which he did a couple mm-hmm. times late last season, and gets all the, it gets 8-9 targets,
nine
that could be the difference.
Yards and a touchdown.
And I'm sure his projected, what do you want to call it, rostership? Projected, yeah. What is it? What am I trying to say?
Yeah,
tournament ship. Percentage. Is
tournament
a good way
percentage.
To say it.
Yeah, he's not going to be in a lot of lineups. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, with DraftKings being full PPR with bonuses, like he can get there with 10 catches and 120 yards without scoring a touchdown. But people have this tendency to think that because a guy didn't score a lot in the past, that they'll never score a lot in the future. Miles Sanders being the poster boy for that. Jacoby Myers at wide receiver right alongside of him. But like volume over everything, and a lot of volume and a lot of targets, catches, and yards will typically end in touchdowns. So I'm right with you on Jacoby Myers this week. Once again,
there we go.
All right. From one superstar wide receiver to another, we're going to go from Jacoby Myers to Stephon Diggs.
Same guy, right?
Yeah, it's basically the same tier of player. But Al, Stephon Diggs absolutely lit the world on fire last week. The fifth highest priced wide receiver here this week. Do you like him in tournament plays?
See, the price is what's criminal here. Because in tournament plays, I like him if you play him the right way, meaning that you're not just using Steph Diggs as a one-off in this situation because he's going to have a lot of traffic on him. Most likely because he should be $9,000. There's no reason that Cooper Kupp should be $9,900, Justin Jefferson $9,300, and Steph Diggs, the point leader at the position, is $7,700. I know he has a tough matchup. Mike can hit on that in just a little bit, but he had a tough matchup in week one against Jalen Ramsey where he went 8 of 9 for 122 and a tutty. So this is a guy who can beat any coverage that's out there. Obviously, my opinion is wide receiver cornerback matchups matter, but most of the time they're baked into the projection because that's kind of the way that projections get made. You have to factor in all of the factors. So if we're double counting that against Diggs, especially with this massive discount, I believe it's a $1,300 DraftKings dollar discount that we're getting on him. I'm not going to double count that. I don't think the rest of people are as well. This game has the potential to shoot out, especially if Miami can find ways to score against this very potent Bills defense, and I want to have shares of.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point that you make, too, because, Mike, in talking about wide receiver cornerback, it's something that we talk about, and it's really mm-hmm. important to us. But to Al's point, you've already baked in the wide receiver cornerback matchup within the projection, so you don't want to double dip when it comes to that standpoint.
Yeah, there's two things here. First of all, the matchup might be more concerning if he did not play on Monday night and did this on Sunday and it was baked into his price, right? That's
right.
I think, the big deal here, right? He's not 8,700 because he had the huge game Monday night and they didn't adjust for that. So we're getting another Monday Night Football discount here. And also, I talked about this on the pod an hour ago. I'm not too worried about this, right? Xavien Howard mm-hmm. is a terrific corner. It might limit Diggs' ceiling a little bit, but we also saw Rashad Bateman toast him for a 75-yard touchdown last week. And Stephon Diggs in this offense, high scoring, pass heavy, super talented, great quarterback. We're not really worried about it. He's borderline matchup dependent. So even if he, you know, maybe the difference is 24 points instead of 27 because Howard has him. And who knows? Maybe he has a dud game, but you're talking about a tournament, right? Does he still have a high ceiling? Mm-hmm. Of course he does. It's Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I'm playing. When you're playing tournaments, Al, it's about ceiling, right? You're not looking for median. Yep. You're not looking for floor. It's all about ceiling.
What you want to do, though, is you don't want other people to play him. So you need to make sure you advertise that Xavien Howard is shadowing Stephon Diggs as often as you can. So
you should probably double dip on that wide receiver cornerback matchup and downgrade Diggs a bunch of times because even though he scored in both times against Miami last season and has had over 20 points, DraftKings points in 4 of his last 5.
Yep.
And in those games, he's had 3 end zone targets in each one. Just discount all that.
Yeah.
Discount all of that.
Don't worry about that.
Xavien Howard, no, lock him down.
Don't blame.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I agree. I talked about that in the pod. Technically, it's a tough matchup. Howard's going to shadow him, but he's had no trouble with Howard, and that matters.
Let's talk about a couple other wide receivers here on the other side of that game. Tyreek Hill, $7,600 taking on the Bills. You got Jalen Waddle, $6,800, same game, also taking on the Buffalo Bills. Brandon Cooks, $5,800, taking on Chicago. That's cheap.
Yeah, I almost featured him. Yeah, it's a good, really good value.
Really good value there. Amon-Ra St. Brown, $7,200 against Minnesota. He is Cooper Kupp light right now with the kind of volume that he is getting in this offense.
Yeah, price just hasn't risen high enough yet.
Not quite. Breshad Perriman, $3,900. There might be nobody else to throw to in that Tampa Bay wide receiving room.
Yeah, not as appealing if Chris Godwin plays. This assumes Godwin is out and Julio does return. So we just have to watch these Bucs receivers until game time.
Rondell Moore, we've talked about Rondell Moore each of the first 2 weeks. Greg Dortch has been the guy that's actually played. If Rondell Moore is healthy, you like him, but there's another big question mark for this week.
Yeah, and Moore, the most recent update is it looks like he might miss more time, so you could basically cross him off and consider Dortch a punt at wide receiver.
And then we got Zay Jones and Nelson Aguilar both coming in right around $4,000 from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk tight end. Mike, this is how I know who my real friends are. You want to know why? Because you're not talking about the guys that are playing the Detroit Lions. You're talking about an actual Detroit Lion. That's why.
I changed the last second Irv Smith. We're talking Hawkinson here. It's interesting, right? And I know Al can speak to this and you can as well. DFS is somewhat of an art, right? Sometimes like if a guy has a big day and his price goes up, you might say, okay, well, I want to go with that player because the price isn't high enough. Like maybe in Amon-Ra St. Brown. Other times, like a guy, I forgot what I was going to say. Like as I'm going through, it's like
has a tough matchup.
You don't want to like he'll have a big day. The price will go up, and then I'm totally spacing on it. The price will go up, but you're like, okay, well, you don't want to buy him at his peak, essentially, right? He's like everybody's using him. His price is up. He's going to come back to earth. So that's not the week you want to be on the player. And like, I almost feel like now's the chance to jump on Hawkinson because it's the exact opposite, right? He's had two kind of down games in terms of production and his price is 4,200. He's the 11th price tight end for a guy that's been top seven the past 2 years. And while no one else is on him, you can jump on and kind of take advantage. And that probably applies more to tournaments than cash. But it's interesting to me. And the reason is this. He has 7 targets in both games.
Yep.
He's a 20% target share. That's basically the same as the past 2 years, especially last year, right? So there's reason for optimism with him. He's priced too low. Taysom Hill and Mike Gesicki are priced higher. Like, it just doesn't make sense. He should not be there. And the Vikings have struggled against tight ends so far. 4th most yards. Dallas Goedert had 82 yards on 5 catches. And even the Packers tight ends, it's kind of a combination of a few guys, 5 for 64. So I think he gets back on track this week.
And the over-under in this game is really nice. This is one of the highest scoring games of the week based on what Caesar says. So we like the chances that the points are going to be scored here in this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. And the other side, Al, you're talking Evan Engram. Wow. You're locking it up with Trevor Lawrence's tight end here. Only $3,700. Taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. Is this one of those like shootout mentalities where you think they're just going to throw a lot? Cheap tight end. Lock him up here.
I mean, they project to play from behind in this game. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. We saw a very efficient game from Trevor Lawrence last week, completing 25 of his 30 passes. And Evan Engram ran a route on over 83% of Trevor Lawrence dropbacks. So, like, sometimes availability is your best ability. And if he is out in the route, he is going to be able to receive targets, something that he has gotten. You mentioned Mike Gesicki, and I'm so distraught. His price should have gone down just on that gritty alone. Like,
oh my god,
3,000 or below.
No, stop it. That gritty was great. That gritty
was great. No, it was not great.
Yes, it was. Because I got to tell you, listen, Al, I love music. I like to feel like I got rhythm. I can't dance for anything. My bones, it's like my body is like a marionette. Everything is just stiff. When I watch Mike Gesicki, it's like I'm not alone. I'm not alone in feeling like that. I'm not the only one that can't dance. Thank you for doing that on a national stage in front of millions of people, Mike Gesicki, for all of us out there.
All right, that's fair. You can play the hell out of a guitar, though. I've seen that.
Hey, I appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Evan Engram is somebody that nobody likes to play. I'm sorry, Daniel. Evan Engram is somebody that nobody likes to play because of the way that he was deployed the last couple of years. And I was hoping, based on what we saw in preseason, that they were going to deploy him differently in this Jaguars offense, and they have through 2 weeks. So all of our old biases that we've had from who Evan Engram has been in a bad offense the last couple of years should drastically, but you have to throw all of that away because he is being deployed in a different way now, and he's still too cheap. And I don't think he's going to stay under 4K much longer.
Yeah, if you're going for a cheap tight end, $3,700. A couple other tight ends that we like as well this week. Tyler Higbee, $4,500, taking on the Arizona.
So many targets.
Yeah, a lot of targets.
He's had like 8+ in 5 straight regular season games.
Which
incredible.
Is crazy. Juwan Johnson, You may be asking, who's Juwan Johnson? Yeah. The tight end from the Saints.
Yeah, converted receiver, and they're using him like one right now.
Yes, they are. $2,900 taking on the Panthers. Logan Thomas has been getting good volume each of the first 2 weeks. $3,500 taking on Philly. And Isaiah Likely. Mm-hmm. It's not often, I feel like, you see the second tight end on a team show up on this DFS show. However, they utilize him. $2,800 taking on the Patriots. If you were looking for a cheap punt play at tight end, Isaiah Likely is someone that you could absolutely look at.
For sure.
All right, we're going to go through Mike and I's lineups head-to-head. See who comes out on top, and Al is going to give you his tournament lineup. But first, this season, you know that your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor Sports Drink on and off the field. Your favorite stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best to give you the trash-talking points that you need. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated. I promise you that. And Body Armor has got you covered because it's made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no official art sweeteners, no flavors or dyes, and coconut water. Body Armor is a great option whether you're playing ball with friends, hauling coolers to a tailgate, or even just rooting for your team. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is such a huge part of that. Body Armor Sports Drink is more than a sports drink. And now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in-store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, open to residents of U.S. 21 and older. All right, Mike Clay, this is it. Our head-to-head week three lineups. We are tied 1-1. Go ahead and give us the second best lineup for week
3. 1-1 with an asterisk, we'll say.
There's literally no asterisks. No.
I don't know. I'm protesting that one.
Why? Because you made a bad call?
All right, so let's see it. All right, we're going Jalen Hurts at quarterback. All right, we're going back to our week one lineup with Hurts here. We love him. Okay. Running backs, Michael Carter, just too cheap at 5,200 for the Jets. David Montgomery here at the running back position.
Sub $6,000 running backs for you.
Yeah, we got that. And we have Leonard Fournette in the flex as well at 6,500, right? So okay. I think he's, we're going three running backs here, but either way, pretty happy with some values, right? We don't have a superstar in there, but we have three pretty good values. Jacoby Myers at receiver. We're going back to the Tyreek Hill. Well, I don't think his price went up enough after what we saw last week. He actually missed some of that game, injured, and still had that huge game. Brandon Cooks, talked about him earlier. Really good value at 5,800. TJ Hawkinson, we talked about him in the flex. And then roll with your Lions defense against the Vikings here. You have some pun options this week. You can roll with them, go with the Lions, and hope they make some plays against old Kirk Cousins. Maybe a few Aiden Hutchinson sacks. We'll take a few of those.
I'll tell you what, when I watch the Lions play Carson Wentz in week two, I realized that Carson Wentz is not Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts eluded the Detroit Lions pass rush quite a bit. Carson Wentz did not have that same ability. I'm wondering if Kirk Cousins, to your point, is going to fall victim to some of that same pass rush. So we'll see.
He struggled against Eagles. So.
All right. My head-to-head lineup against Mike Clay. I am taking Josh Allen, $8,200, taking on Miami. I got Leonard Fournette at $6,500 and Miles Sanders at $5,500 for my running backs. My wide receivers, I got Amon-Ra St. Brown at $7,200. Jalen Waddle at $6,800. Jalen Waddle did not go up enough, and I love that price point. Uh-huh. Curtis Samuel in his volume, only $5,100. Irv Smith and everything he did in week two. He is a punt play for me at tight end, only $3,100. Taking on the Detroit Lions in a good matchup. And Garrett Wilson and all that volume, $5,400. And I got the Detroit Lion defense as well as a punt, $2,200.
You just yelled at me, though, when I joked about using Irv Smith. Like, you're using a Viking against a Lion after just berating me for
doing that. Yeah, well, Irv Smith was a good value. Listen, in all honesty, Monday Night Football discount, right? I realize he went from zero targets to eight, but like 31, if he's $3,100, he's going to be utilized in this game. Definitely a good price point for him there.
Agreed. Looks sharp. You got to love them receivers, right? You're so excited. That's three guys who could have 10 touches
each
right there at the receiver. So definitely good options.
Hopefully things work out with Leonard Fournette and Miles Sanders, who you suggested, Al. So if things don't work out, I'm coming after you. You can expect that one real hard. Who do you like in week 3 for your tournament play?
Well, I said I was going to stack Josh Allen a bunch of times. So why don't we just build a Josh Allen double stack?
Yes.
I have Josh Allen at quarterback, Miles Sanders and David Montgomery at running back, two sub 6K guys to be able to afford the wide receivers that I want to pay up for. Steph Diggs at 7,700. I also have Dawson Knox as part of that double stack, bringing it back with Jalen Waddle. And then my secondary stack, Doolin on Indy coming across with Juju Smith-Schuster on Kansas City. I think that Juju has a nice little bounce game here after a couple of meh-ish performances. And at defense, I'm going with the Jets with the movable object versus the resistible force. I'm hoping that the Jets are defensive line is less resistible this week against Cincinnati's porous offensive line.
Yeah, so the only thing I'd say is keep an eye on Dolan, just because he could be their fourth receiver this week. Adam Schefter just told us on the first podcast, Michael Pittman looking promising for this week, and Alec Pierce is back at practice, so it could be those three guys. I think they'll find a way to work Pierce in, but I'd be worried about a two-catch game there for sure.
One quick player I want to mention. We talked about basically everyone else in this Bills-Dolphins game. Gabe Davis didn't really come up. We've talked about Stephon Diggs, both the pass catchers, both of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Is he a guy that with this play, is the value still there this week or is it a little bit tougher?
Yeah. And his, I don't know exactly where he came in on pricing, but I think he's fine, right? I think he's
like 6,000, kind of I think.
Yeah. He's kind of a mid range value. I would say
$6,300.
Yeah. Week. Right. So his price went up from week one. That's 500 more than Brandon Cooks, right? Which is kind of tough to pill to swallow and probably why he's not on the list, but he's a good matchup, right? If Xavier Howard is chasing around Stephon Diggs in this game, which is my expectation about three quarters of the time, Davis is going to draw the other side of the field there with Keon Crossan, who's filling in for Byron Jones, who's on IR. So that actually is a really good matchup. And especially in a tournament setting, get a couple touchdowns. Like he's on that list. He's on the short list of most likely to score two touchdowns in a game. So no doubt. Especially in GPPs.
The uncertainty around the injury is why I did not want to include him in the lineup here. But like that would be my preferred double stack with Josh Allen is Diggs to Gabe Davis. Like both of them is just unstoppable, much like the two Miami wide receivers were last week.
Yep. Yep. I like that. All right. A lot of fun football ahead here in week three. Really excited. Al, thanks so much for hanging out with us again. Love being able to do this every single day. I know you get up early to do this, so thank you, buddy. Mike, I appreciate you. Not as much as I appreciate Al. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today. What a fantastic show. Don't forget to love each other. Make sure that you give your friends hugs. And that's it. We love you guys.
Good hosting job. Good effort. Way to finish off strong.
This is why Al is my favorite host on the show.
Good strong finish.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.